Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace. Greetings, family, and welcome back to the call. We want to go ahead and move forward. This is our Thursday night call, and we're in our Dare to Win campaign. The ULU Economic Empowerment Plan, which is a sober discussion of the systems and institutions necessary for real economic power empowerment for our people. The systems and institutions of the past have not worked. New models are required, and Us Lifting Us is leading the way in building this new economic paradigm. It's not enough that we struggle. We must build and maintain ways and means to ensure our success, not only for ourselves, but for future generations. As ULU, we dare to win. And I am Brother Thurman, a ULU board member, and the also on the call with me is Brother Kimbizi, also a ULU board member. Welcome to the call, Brother Kimbizi.
Greetings, Brother Thurman, and welcome. I'm glad to be with the family tonight and with you as always.
Wonderful, wonderful. And family members, we're going to start off with a topic and questions. And we welcome you. Give us, 15 minutes or so to open up with the topic. But you can call us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. And when you're ready to speak with questions or comments, just press 1, and we would recognize you and bring you on the air. And the question is, who owns the land? So on that question of who owns the land, Brother Kimbizi, please give us your thoughts about that question.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. I would say before we can answer the question, who owns the land or who should own the land, we must ask an even more important question, and that is ultimate reality spirit or matter? Ulu answers the question this way. We have an Ulu member by the name of Paul Ifeyomi Grant, and he has a pamphlet on the Ulu website in our back room entitled Ifowosowopo Economics, a Cultural Philosophical Paradigm for African Economic Policy Development and Implementation. And the first statement in leading into his discussion about the kind of economic program that would benefit the African continent and Africans in the diaspora, he makes this statement: the acknowledgement and recognition that the most fundamental aspect of existence is spirit, and that this should undergird and underpin all forms of interaction within the African world. When we're talking about building a new economic system, a new economy that will serve African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora, we understand that this economy rests on a philosophical foundation, and the ideas in that foundation then are worked out, carried out, materialized through the economic system. So this idea that spirit is the most important aspect of reality is an African notion. Contrast that with the fact that many Europeans, perhaps even most, cannot comprehend what they can't see or touch. So for them, ultimate reality is material, which is why, since they have been running the world, they put matter or material before people. They put profits over people. They put profits over Mother Earth. They buy and sell other human beings. They turn everything into commodities and then sell them for the highest profit. Us Lifting Us, again, taking an African mind position, how does this idea of spirit being primary then answer the question or give us guidance in the question of who owns the land or who should own the land? And then again, according to the paper by Brother Grant, he says this: the understanding that human beings are custodians, trustees, guardians of the land, and therefore that the land cannot be owned, only utilized for the benefit of society. Now, that is a profound statement, because it goes to the very first resource of economic activity, the land. And when we point out that the African understanding of the land was that it could not be owned, it could only be utilized and allocated so that people, families, villages, tribes, nations had access to be able to feed themselves by producing off the land. So to answer our question, Africans have maintained that the land was given to the people to use. The people are the custodians of, and therefore it could not be owned. It could not be sold. If the land can't be owned, but is held by the community in trust, because it is in fact a gift to the people from the Creator, land is a component of the means of production. So in the African conceptualization of civilization, land is sacred, and it is the trust of the community, which implies then that the Us Lifting Us program, where we see owning land collectively and cooperatively, and using that land cooperatively, puts us on the course of economic growth that is consistent with the planet and in line with our history as a people. Let me pause there for questions or comments. Brother Thurman, you with me?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, I was talking. Yes, brother. So as I was saying to you and to the family, there's some very powerful information that we must be taking note on about the land. And we ask you to please participate in the conversation, and you can reach us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1, and we would be able to get to you and bring you on the air live. And also, anyone that's new to the Us Lifting Us Thursday night call, make sure it's very important that you go to our webpage and take a thorough look at our webpage. There's an online presentation there. And please visit it, because we do want you to know and be properly educated about the value of being a part and being in the family of Us Lifting Us. And also, there's a feedback form that you can fill out also that's under the button that says contact and feedback information. Brother Kimbeza, before we continue on, we do have a caller. And would you want to go forward and take the caller at this time, or do you want to wait a little bit?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take the call, Brother Thurman.
All right. Okay, we have a caller that the last four numbers are 1139. Welcome to the call, and please give your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm calling from the center of the universe. That's what they call Ashland, Virginia, believe it or not.
Good. Welcome.
And
to
I just came across your show, and I am very interested in what you're doing, because I am a global visionary, and I'm working on transforming not only global economics, but education, politics, religion, and more, and empowering women and indigenous people in the process as I work on rooting out corruption that's not, and bringing transparency back to where it has to go to force the global elites to change their ways or be dealt with legally. And I'm doing it based on paradigms of spirituality and unconditional agape love, and that's where we have to go. It can't be fighting. We have to stop the chaos. That's what the elites are thriving on. So when we get the heart to God resonance straight through spirituality, anything is possible.
Okay. How did you find out about Us Lifting Us?
I just came across your show on Blog Talk. I've been a guest on various Blog Talk shows. If I can share my name, it might be of interest to you, and I give you a big website to look over to, so that you'll be able to be familiar with some of the things I'm doing with my business partner, with strategies that are not ego-based but empowerment-based, to help the masses look at new ways of acting and doing things.
Okay, please give us your name and your organization.
Yes, my name is Hugh, H-U-G-H. Last name is Traulson. It's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. You can put my name on YouTube or Google it. But if you Google three words, my last name again, Traulson, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, the word and, A-N-D, and then Trump, T-R-U-M-P. It will bring you to a page on a big website, rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com. I actually share common background with President Trump, but I'm certainly not into the ego like he is. You'll see some interesting texts and documents on that page. Then you'll be able to look over all the other pages on the website. On the homepage, there's a blog, creativity777.com, that has a copy of a letter from former President Obama to me related to the economy, a poem I dedicated to my wife that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library titled Caring Sharing. I discuss it as a weapon against terrorism, and Maya Angelou even commented on my poem.
All right, Hugh. Well, we thank you for calling, and our website is usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, and you can take a look at that, and if you find that it's appropriate for you, you have to, you can apply for membership. Every member has to apply and be vetted to determine if you're appropriate to be a member of Us Lifting Us.
Yes, I'll bring it to the attention of my business partner, who's also involved with cybersecurity and education and more. So I don't do anything personally as far as texting or email. I stay in a very creative mode because my mission is so huge. I'm like a butterfly. I'm all over the map.
All right. Well, continue to listen, and we're going to continue on with the call, and we thank you so much for calling. And
thank you.
Yes. And the rest of the listening audience, anyone else that has any comments or questions, make sure you dial in at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you have questions or comments or you'd like to be on the air. Brother Kambizi, we were talking.
Brother Thurman, before we go to break, I would just say that ULU, Us Lifting Us, as an economic development cooperative, we were talking about who should own the land, that ULU as a cooperative will acquire land for agricultural and other purposes, but the land will be held in trust by the cooperative for the benefit of its members. In other words, under Us Lifting Us, the people are the custodians or stewards of the land, and it is used for the benefit of the entire community. Now, this is an important philosophical concept. If this is not central to our thinking and the conceptualizations that we are forming, what we will wind up creating is an economy that is exploitive, that is out of sync with our history and our culture. And so, again, in this battle to reclaim our African minds, I think this idea that the land is available for the community and the people at large to use, but it is not available to be owned privately or sold. And to a point that we had made earlier, one of the things that Amilcar Cabral, the revolutionary thinker and liberation leader, before he was assassinated by the CIA, made the very clear point that liberation only exists when the means of production and the natural productive forces have been freed from all kinds of foreign domination. So what this idea is making us aware of is the need to change the way we think about land and how land is used, and to reclaim the African concept that the land is a gift to us as the inhabitants of the planet. It is here for us to use and to take care of, but not to be owned privately, sold, rented, or any of those things. So to me, that's a very revolutionary and radical idea, something that we need to think about. And I'm just curious, people who are on the call tonight, have we thought about the fact that we have to get back to a situation where we don't think of land as something to be owned and traded and bartered and those kinds of things, but we see it as a gift and the basis ultimately for economic freedom? I'll pause there, Brother Thurman. You may have a question, or there may be some other comments that our listeners care to make.
Yes. Well, I certainly, and we thank you for bringing forth those points about the land, and it's very important for those that are not familiar with what you talked about. This, it should be refreshing to our minds, you know, and gets in that category of African deep thought that we've got to think deeply about all of our life. And it kind of reminds me of the concept of Sankofa, meaning we need to look back to the past, and your references about the land and how we need to view the land again. That was the way it was with us, the original people. And so once again, family members, please make sure that you're taking notes. If you're new to the call, make sure that you visit the website, usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. And when we come back, you're welcome to call in at 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you've got questions or comments. Family members, we want to welcome you back to the call. We want to continue the call. And as we continue, we want to go into another segment of the call. It's already been mentioned, but in this segment, we want to focus on further on the battle to reclaim our African mind. And a question would be, what do you mean by the term African mind? Brother Kimbizi, please tell us about that.
Brother Thurman, thank you for that question. The main thing that we want to talk about, when we talk about the African mind, what we're talking about is the African worldview. Another word that we might use to understand that would even be ideology, that system of ideas that explains reality. So there are two competing worldviews at present on the world stage. One is the African or the Eastern worldview, which has a metaphysical foundation. In other words, ultimate reality is spirit. Opposed to that is the idea that ultimate reality is material. That if it can't be touched or seen or manipulated in some kind of way, it is not even real. And so we live in Western society, that is Europe and America, and have been dominated for the last 500 years by their ways of thinking and structuring reality basically on materialism. So Brother Ifeoma Grant, who we mentioned at the top of the broadcast, shares several tenets or positions or principles as part of his pamphlet. And for me, they were very helpful because oftentimes when we start talking about African mind or African ideas, people aren't quite sure what we're talking about. I'm familiar with the quote, and I'm sure many of our listeners are also, an exchange between Brother Malcolm X and someone he was talking to on the street. And Malcolm had mentioned something about Africa, and the brother said, "Shoot, man, I ain't left nothing in Africa." And Malcolm replied, "Why, you left your mind in Africa." So I want to share these four basic ideas as examples of African worldview. And I also want to suggest that these become part of our thinking as we construct new economies, new political systems, new families, new all of the ways that we live in the world should be governed by, informed by African ideas. So the first of these ideas is the view that the earth is a living organic organism which must be treated with respect. Which if that was our way of thinking, we wouldn't be in the environmental crisis that we're in right now. A society that will blow off the top of a mountain to extract its mineral wealth and leave the mountain devastated, huge mudslides and pools of slag. You just don't tear up the environment to get at a resource that you then can sell for profit and pat yourself on the back for how much money you made. So that first idea, the view that the earth is a living organic organism which must be treated with respect. And we know that African people, indigenous people, inhabited the planet for thousands of years and kept it in pristine condition. The water was clear and clean. The air was breathable. Species flourished. Life flourished because there was this respect for the earth as a living, breathing organism, which we have gotten away from and we must very quickly get back to. The second idea that Brother Paul Grant shares is the understanding that individuality is good and to be celebrated, and that individualism is bad and destructive of social relations. I'm reminded of the African quote that says, "Because we are, therefore I am, and because I am, therefore we are." So the individual is placed in context of the community. And the two are in this interdependent relationship with each other. The European thought kind of expressed by Descartes was, therefore I am. In other words, it's all about me, myself, and I. And that individualism creates a society where the needs of others can be trampled because of the desires and the wants of a powerful few. The third idea, the recognition of the family and family in its widest African sense as the foundation of society, and hence the need to build an economics that supports the functionality and integrity of this institution. African thinkers, going back to the dawn of civilization, understood that family was the primary building block of the nation. And therefore, the family had to be supported and nurtured and given all of the resources necessary for it to flourish and to reach its full potential, because as the family flourished, then the potential for the nation to flourish was guaranteed. And the last idea that I want to share in before our time gets away from us, Brother Thurman, is the recognition of the vital role played by women in the economy, whether in paid or unpaid capacities, and the determination to attribute appropriate value and support to caregiving and other essential roles traditionally undertaken by women. We live in what is called a patriarchal society. In other words, it's hierarchical, and at the top of the social hierarchy is white males. And women are subordinated and subservient to the desires, the needs, the wants of these males. That, in our view, in Us Lifting Us, is imbalanced. We view a horizontal relationship between men and women where each is working with and supporting the other to achieve their full potential as beings. Again, we have to rebalance our communities and get back to ways of living that are historically in alignment with who we have been and who we soon will be again. So we are suggesting, we are arguing, and us lifting us, that these ideas help us to regain, reclaim what it is to be African, not just walking around in dashikis or galas with African names, but to understand that underneath our dress mode is a way of thinking, is an African mind at work that holds certain views and principles and practices them in a way of living and working in community that is helpful and supportive of life for all who share that common space. So ULU has built our economic program around these and other African ideas. Our vision is to see a viable, sustainable, livable, and peaceful Africa. And we're very clear, if we don't build our economy around African ideas, we will only duplicate what the American and European conceptualizations have been and remain enmeshed in a world of war and hatred and fear and self-destruction. So, Brother Thurman, those would be my comments in terms of what does it mean to reclaim our African minds. It means to regain these ideas that served African people, that enabled them to build the pyramids, to be the first scientists and doctors and healers, great scholars and thinkers, to develop writing and mathematics. Those were a system of ideas that were metaphysical. They transcended the physical, and they acknowledged that above and beyond all is spirit, and spirit guides us in how we live on the planet. I'll pause here for questions or comments, Brother Thurman.
We thank you so much. You're bringing some powerful and necessary information. You're bringing clarity. That's what we need, bringing clarity. Brother Kimbizi, we do have a caller. Let me welcome the caller. Caller, we have a caller. Your last number is 6093. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from and give us your question or comment.
Thank you for the opportunity to participate. This is Nanana calling from Denver, Colorado. How are you, Brother Thurman?
Good, good, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. The question that I have that I would like either you or Brother Kimbizi to address, and that is cooperative economics. That's a term that that is unfamiliar, I judge, for a lot of us. And in listening to the value system that's being talked about and how that is embedded in the economic plan that ULU is putting forth, I was just wondering if you could put some more words around that, Brother Kimbizi, to help us to understand the parallels between those basic life principles and what's being referred to as cooperative economics.
That's a great question, Sister Nanana, and thank you for raising it. The first thing I would say is when we say cooperative economics, opposed to that is competitive economics. When we say cooperative economics, we mean the economy is owned by the group. It's owned by the collective. It is a family-centered economic system that is driven not by profit, but by meeting the needs of the community that it serves, as opposed to a competitive economic model that is organized around maximum profit by exploiting the people who do the work, by exploiting the land upon which the work is done, and competing for the sake of competition, even when it becomes irrational and doesn't make sense. We are living in a historical moment where it is clear that global warming is bringing us to the point of catastrophic climate change. We have just a limited time frame, maybe 10 years, to make drastic change to the way we use the resources of the planet and reduce our carbon footprint, or else we will hit a tipping point and it will be too late to turn back the clock. In a competitive economic system of capitalism, there is no concern for those kinds of outcomes. The only concern is making maximum profit right now. So it is a system of immediate gratification. Cooperative economics, on the other hand, takes a much wider view, and it asks fundamentally, what are the needs of the people? So here we are, where the climate is crying for radical change to reduce the use of fossil fuels and move to renewable sources, i.e. solar or wind or water. And what that's going to mean for us as a society is we're going to have to say, okay, we may have to suspend profit making right now, because it's important that we change the way we generate energy. And so we need to get off of the fossil fuels and get on to solar or wind. That may not put any money in anybody's pocket in the short run, but it will guarantee that there will be a tomorrow and a next week and a next year for our children. Again, cooperative economics has to do with asking the question, do the people need? And how do we organize the talents and the gifts and the abilities and the genius and the talents of and organize all of these resources to benefit the maximum number of people, not to put profit in the pockets of the 1% or the elite few? I hope I'm answering your question, my sister Nanana. I'll pause right there.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
Okay, caller. Thank you, Sister Nanana. We thank you so much for your question, and thank you so much, Brother Kimbizi, because you gave a wonderful answer about that. Her question was timely, because we do need to, in our final segments, talk in some detail about us lifting us. And Brother Kimbizi, if you want to continue on,
I would just say, as a last follow-up statement to Sister Nanana's question, I think the recent crisis that General Motors has sparked by saying that they're going to close these five plants and lay off 14,000 workers, and they're doing that to prop up their the price of General Motors shares. The need for the planet, though, is for electric cars, so that we don't need really, even though the SUVs and the recreational vehicles and the Suburbans and the Tahoes, those are big profit items for General Motors. They make a lot of money for General Motors in terms of they are gas guzzlers. That's the last vehicle that we need to be driving as we're trying to get a handle on reducing climate change. What we need to do is put our resources into electric cars or even self-driving cars, but they don't make as much profit as the Tahoes and the Suburbans and the Armadas. You follow what I'm saying? So cooperative economics would say, let's make a car that makes sense for the time in which we live. Whereas the competitive economic system would say, trash those economical cars that don't burn a lot of gas and therefore don't make a lot of money, and let's continue to make these big gas guzzlers, because that's going to keep the rich rich while the poor get poor, and the quality of living deteriorates even further because you can't breathe the air. The water has been fouled. So Sister Nana asked a very important question. This idea of cooperative economics means just that. We cooperate, and it implies that there is a larger group in the conversation. This is not some activity that we're engaged in that's going to make a handful of people filthy rich while the rest of the world is on the brink of starvation. There was a study that came out not long ago that says there are 62 people, just get this, 62 people whose combined wealth is greater than the wealth of 3.5 billion people on the planet. Something is wrong with that equation.
True.
So that what we are arguing for is cooperation amongst the largest group of people, the majority of the people on the planet. How do we share the resources of the planet? How do we make use of our skills and our gifts and our abilities? And how do we live in a way that is sustainable and peaceful? We don't have to be involved in endless war, but if we make it all about competing and pretending that there is a scarcity of resources, well, we'll be at each other's throats from now until. So Sister Nanana raises the critical question, which system do we think is better for the entire planet, cooperation or competition? As you like to say, Brother Thurman, I'm done.
Thank you so much. You did it so very well. And so we were talking about earlier reclaiming our African minds, and you absolutely in wonderful ways of in a comprehensive way of looking at life and the world and the ecosystem that you mentioned. Let's family members, you still have the opportunity to call in, and we did want to continue say some more, get in some more information about Us Lifting Us and how it works and how you can become a part of it. We do have another person that wants to, or do we? I don't. Maybe not. So, Brother Kambizi, I'll check on that call in a minute. Ulu is the answer. So, we're listening audience, family members, Ulu is the answer, and you are invited to help rebuild the world. And I've got the question is related, connected to that, is how can one person make a difference? Brother Kambizi, give us your thoughts on that.
Thank you, Brother Thurman. One person can have a tremendous impact on our system because 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. In other words, each person doing a little is better than a few trying to do it all. And so we in Us Lifting Us are inviting, encouraging, exhorting our listeners and our audience who have not been to our website, usliftingus.com, and reviewed the Us Lifting Us plan, Dare to Win, and see if this doesn't make sense to you. We are in the business of harnessing the black dollar, the resources that flow through our hands on an annual basis. $1.3 trillion passes through black hands every year. That's a lot of money. And if we pool the money that flows through our hands, if each person will just set aside a portion of their annual income and pool it with other people of like mind in the Us Lifting Us co-op, that gives us a lot of money to build and open cooperative businesses. We're not giving out loans. What we're doing as we pool our resources, much the way Marcus Garvey in the 1920s talked to the people of his day and said, you know, buy this bond, help us to build a fleet of ships that can create commerce between African nations. Us Lifting Us is an economic enterprise. We are opening small, medium, and large-scale businesses that are cooperatively owned. Again, that word cooperative. In other words, this is not private ownership of these companies. This is collective ownership, where the community owns the business and benefits from the business, so that of the surplus that is generated from us operating these businesses, we do a number of things. We contribute to, for example, an educational system that will prepare our children to be able to operate in the 21st century. We recognize the health crisis that our people are in and the need for affordable health services. Again, with the tremendous profits flowing through our hands and going through cooperative businesses that we own, we can provide health services to our community. And then we also have a portion of those profits or surplus come back to the members in the form of a dividend. So it's a very powerful mechanism. And it begins with one person making the decision that I'm going to be part of the group that pools my money into a larger pool that can make a difference in empowering our community and enabling us to be self-determining, moving us towards sovereignty, moving us to a place of independence where we stand on our own two feet and we're not begging anybody, and we're able to, as Amilcar Cabral said, we're able to once again make history. So the mechanism is annual membership in Us Lifting Us is $50. So once you pay your $50, we receive your application, we review it, we check to make sure that you are who you say you are, that you are Black African descent, and we say welcome aboard. That takes care of administrative things, our ability to communicate, et cetera. We also encourage our members, as they are able, to purchase a co-op unit. Now, this is where the mechanism enables us to actually have power. And the purchase of the co-op unit is $1,000. You don't have to pay it all at one time. You can pay it out over a couple of years, whatever works for your budget. And as for every 1,000 members who purchase a co-op unit, that's $1 million. You think about the millions of people just in each of our cities alone. When we pool those kinds of resources, then we have millions and millions of dollars at our disposal to create jobs, because we are going to put our people to work doing activities that benefit our community. We are also going to generate surplus that enables us, as I said, to educate our children, to take care of the health needs of our community, to do research and development so that we are on the cutting edge of technology, and also have a portion of that come back to us as dividends. And the beauty of this is this can be passed forward to future generations. So the ULU plan is the winning formula for us. It's not like we have to create something. What we are really doing is harnessing the wealth that is already in our wallets. We're just making the decision to use our money in a way different than what we did last year or the year before that. Or you follow what we're saying, Brother Thurman, is just pooling the resources to build the institutions that will guarantee our liberation. And one person can make a difference. Everybody is important in this process. And we're excited because there is no limit to where we can go in building this enterprise. It's global in its scope. We want and invite people from around the world to be a part of Us Lifting Us. And the beauty of it is that this set of ideas transforms the very planet on which we live. So I'll pause. There may be some questions of some parts that I didn't cover so well. Brother Thurman, you tell me where we need to fill in the blanks.
Yes, you have covered a whole lot, and definitely appreciate the clarity that you bring and the way that you are just so outstanding with your use of the words. And it's definitely empowering to all of our listening audience. We've got just a few minutes left, family members. We'd welcome your calls or questions. We've only got maybe 9 minutes, but the telephone number is 929-477-2789. And please, if you have not gone to the website, usliftingus.com, and if you have any comments, including the continuing education that was done so well tonight by Brother Kimbizi, you can, on the web page, you go to where it says comments and feedback. There's a feedback form. Give some comments about the knowledge and the continuing education that's been presented tonight. And we're here every Thursday, and we do definitely want you to be taking notes but also to participate, because participation is necessary for our liberation. I do want to, before the time runs out, to mention the Us Lifting Us, the first of many businesses that Us Lifting Us will build and operate and employ our people, is Cafe Ulu, that's located in Atlanta, Georgia. Cafe Ulu, you can look it up. The web address is cafeulu.com, cafeulu.com. That's cafeulu.com. Make sure that you go there to the web page and look at what they're doing, what they have available. And it's a coffee house, also a networking lounge, and they have ongoing events for all ages, including mentoring children with chess and doing musical events, doing serenades for the seniors, and things concerning economics, of course, and a variety of African coffees that's at Cafe Ulu. If you're in Atlanta or if you're visiting Atlanta, make sure that you go to Cafe Ulu. And once again, cafeulu.com, cafeulu.com. would give you that address that's in the Sylvan Road Shopping Center. And also, if you're not in Atlanta, wherever you are, you can order coffee through Cafe Ulu, the various coffees from Cameroon, other African countries, and some from the Caribbean. You can order online bags of coffee. Just go to their webpage, cafeulu.com, and also they have a Facebook page, and that's go to Facebook and type in Cafe Ulu and make sure that you like the page. It's very important that we support these businesses, and it's very important that if you take in and give appreciation for the information that's been given out tonight, and you look at the web page and you see that there's just so much going on with Us Lifting Us in this cooperative model, please apply, take a good look, and apply for membership, because we need each other. We need each other. And what we're achieving, look with your help to achieve, is that we will take our rightful place back on this planet, a clean planet, have land that we had originally, and have legacies that we would leave for many generations. And Brother Kimbizi, we've got 6 minutes. Would you like to give us some more thoughts and anything that I left out?
Brother Thurman, I would just say again, for people who are listening, do a couple of things. One, bring people to this Thursday night broadcast. So check, tell your friends, say, hey, come sit with me and check out the Dare to Win program every Thursday at 9 o'clock on Blog Talk. Secondly, go to our webpage, usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. Review our webpage. Look at the winning plan and appeal that's posted there. We have a 17-minute clip, a PowerPoint presentation where we talk about the ULU winning plan. Review that. It lays out point by point how Us Lifting Us works. And then click on the page where it's, there's a tab that says join. Click on the join, and we will send you the documents that enable you to become a member of Us Lifting Us. So again, if to the question of what can one person do, go to the website, review the information. If it makes sense to you, hit the join tab, fill out the information, and become a member of Us Lifting Us. As Brother Thurman pointed out, also go to the cafeulu.com webpage, purchase a coffee by the pound, and become a supporter of Cafe ULU, the first business enterprise that Us Lifting Us has opened up. It operates at 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta, Georgia. So for those of you that are in Metro Atlanta, stop by, order some coffee, some pastry, spend some time in the space with us. A lot of activities going on at Cafe ULU. We want this to be a destination point for our people where you just drop in and participate in the conversation, join the dialogue, share your ideas, bring your energy, let your children see it, so that we begin to understand that we are rebuilding African life for our people collectively, cooperatively, not begging anyone else to do this for us. We're taking the responsibility to rebuild our own lives, to rebuild our own institutions, and to dare to win, as we say. So we look forward to being with you next Thursday and participate together in building a new world based on an African worldview, an African mindset, an African economy and political system. Brother Thurman, I'll turn it back over to you and let you say goodnight to our sisters and brothers.
Okay. Family members, we thank you so much for joining the call. And Brother Kambizi, we certainly thank you for everything that you have shared tonight in such a wonderful way. And thank all of the callers and the questions that were asked and answers given to those questions. And please be with us and recognize we've got Cafe ULU. Their Facebook page will let you know about the various events that they have going on there. A variety of events that's a part of our culture and Us Lifting Us. Also on Facebook, go to Us Lifting Us and make sure that you like that page, and that also keeps you aware of activities going on with Us Lifting Us, and also some words of that will help keep us centered in our African mind. And we will be back here next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once again, please go to the website. If you're not a member, go there and follow the directions that Brother Kambizi already told you, and apply for membership, and we'll go from there. And as we build these businesses, we will just be on a roll that will be continuous, like an artesian well that just continues to flow. and you can be a part of helping us build these businesses and assuring that we'll have legacies for many, many generations. Once we get started with us pooling our resources, it should continue forever. And we thank you so much for being on the call, and we will be back here next Thursday. Thank you once again, Brother Kimbizi. And family members, the last thing I'd say is, Sister Marie Evans said, we do not have time to play with our destruction. Brother Kimbizi said tonight that we have wealth in our wallet, and we need to harness that wealth. And we do not have time to be playing with our wealth with foolishness. And as the sister said, we do not have time to play with our destruction. So join us, be with us, so that we will be unstoppable.
Trying to make it, they only push you aside.